Are you ready to give God praise? You ain't got time on me, have you? We gonna have some church in here, yeah. Come on, put your hands together. We ain't finished yet. Come on.
Jesus said it. right up in there. When I break through, when I broke loose, when I broke free, when I broke out. Come on, somebody, you should have been there when I prayed through. The church was on fire, an apostolic, tongue-talking, devil-chasing, soul-saving, sin-cleansing. One God, the church was on fire. And the Holy Ghost. From Acts 2 and 38, the Holy Ghost that suddenly filled the house like a rushing mighty wind. The church was on fire, and the Holy Ghost too, from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet. Come on, I renewed my mind, it renewed my heart, it changed where I walk, it changed how I talk, it changed how I think, from the top of my head all the way down to the sole of my feet. I felt the Spirit, I felt the Spirit, I felt the Holy Ghost and fire all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire, and the Holy Ghost too. Yeah. Somebody say yeah. Somebody say yeah. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I felt the Holy Ghost moving all over me. Come on, church.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. Top of my head, sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me. In the water, the water was cold, chilled my body but not my soul.
Don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. Steps in the water was cold,
chilled my body,
but not my soul.
I got a river,
a living water,
Holy Ghost river,
a living water.
I got a river,
a living water,
Holy Ghost river.
Turn to your neighbor and lay your hand on him. Tell him, I've got a testimony. If you've been blood-bought and spirit-filled, you've got a testimony tonight. Praise God. We want to rejoice with Bobby. Bobby got the Holy Ghost. Bobby, right? Got the Holy Ghost this morning. Got baptized in Jesus' name. Tonight he's back down in the altar, taking ownership of this altar. And you're exactly right. This thing belongs to you. This is your revival. This is your God. This is your promise. This is all brand new for you, but you make yourself at home. This is your Father's house. Somebody say amen. My God, this is a day to lay hold of the promise of God. We're excited tonight about what God is doing. We've already had 40 different kinds of church here tonight. We are delighted to have Brother and Sister Turner with us tonight. And I want them to come. They are precious veteran missionaries for a number of years in South Korea. How long were y'all there? Like 13 years? And then now all over Europe and Russia primarily. And we're blessed and honored to have them in the house tonight. And I just told them I don't know what kind of church we're going to have. We're going to have all kinds of church. But I want them to just come and take their liberty and share their burden with you tonight. We love them. We appreciate them. We honor them. Why don't you give God a hand praise for wonderful missionaries in the kingdom of God?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Sutton. Praise the Lord, everybody. I've been smiling ever since I got here. Can't help but smile when you're in the presence of God. Well, we thought we ought to have a little bit of Russian worship. If you can stand a little more. And the words to the song say, sing unto the Lord, all ye earth. Speak of his salvation, his greatness, and glory is being declared in all the earth. The Lord is great, powerful, the Almighty. Rejoice, for the kingdom of the Lord is come. Ой, Господь, душа земля, о спасении Его говори. Его чудеса и слава возвращаются по всей земле. Be seated just a minute. I want to say how welcome we have felt here. I feel like I know Brother and Sister Sutton all my life. They've just treated us so wonderfully. 1 year ago, this past winter, my wife and I were up here in northeast or northwest Ukraine. We were there for a oneness seminar. Brother Alexander Baron is a pastor in Belarus. And he has been doing evangelism work, missionary evangelism work into Russia and also into Ukraine, where he was originally born. And in the past year, Alexander has started 13 new preaching points right up here in this area. Amen. And he got a group of pastors and church leaders together from various groups, and he said, let's have a oneness seminar. So my wife and I traveled up here, and Brother Mark Schutz, our fellow missionary, came down. Brother Ray Nichols joined us from Poland. It was very cold in that place. It didn't have any heat, but we survived the night. The next morning, got up for the seminar, and I was going to be the first one to speak. And I was just kind of looking over this group. I noticed this gentleman sitting over in that area, and he was one powerful-looking man. He was probably taller than I am, but he had no fat on his body, a barrel chest, all muscle. His head was shaved. He had tattoos on his forearms and on his hands and across his fingers, which revealed he had been in a Russian prison. And I was just getting ready to start to teach when his name was Nikolai. Nikolai held up his hand, and he said, excuse me, but I'd just like to ask one question before you start. I said, okay, what is it? He said, I'd just like to know, basically, what is it you believe? So I said, well, in a nutshell, we believe this. We believe that there is one God, and that God is a spirit. and that the God of the Old Testament came in the flesh in the New Testament, and that his name is Jesus. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And I said, furthermore, we believe that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I said, that becomes possible when you repent of your sins and get baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then I said, the Bible teaches us that we need to live a holy, separated life unto the Lord and be a witness for him. And basically, that's it. And Nikolai said, I'm glad you said that. And I was glad that he was glad. And he said, could I give you my testimony? And I said, sure. He said, well, a few years ago, I was sitting in a Ukrainian prison. And he said he had been a member of the Russian mafia. He'd been a very wicked man and lived a very bad life. But now he was in prison. There was no way out of it. And his life just crumbled around him. And he came into a time of despair in that prison. But it just so happened that in that prison in Ukraine, there was a backslidden Oneness Pentecostal who wasn't serving God, of course, but he knew how to find God. And he and Nikolai started talking. They were in the same cell block, and they shared some conversations together. And Nikolai had never been to church in his life. He had never prayed, had never read a Bible. But he began to think about God. And every time he'd get together with this man, they'd talk a little more. He found out a little bit about the baptism of the Holy Ghost that this man was telling him about his parents' experience. And then somehow they got a hold of Bibles in that prison. I think maybe the Gideons had brought in Bibles. Nikolai got a hold of a Bible and began to read that Bible in that prison cell. He read it from cover to cover more than once. And he told me, he said, everything that you have said, and he started weeping as he told me this. He said, everything you have said, God showed me in that Bible. I didn't have a teacher in that prison, but I saw that there was one God. I realized I needed the Holy Ghost, and I saw that the early church always baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Nikolai began to pray. He and that other guy would pray together, and then Nikolai in his own jail cell was praying and seeking God, and said one night, he said, I just completely surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus and asked him to forgive me of my sins. He said the presence of God came into that jail cell and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And eventually he got out of prison, and he said, the first thing I did, I started looking for a church where I could find a pastor who would baptize me in the name of Jesus Christ. So he went back to the scene of the crime. He went back to Odessa, which is kind of the crime capital of Ukraine on the Black Sea. It's a big drug import area, and all of that's going on there. It's the only place I've ever been to a McDonald's where they had an armed guard carrying an Uzi submachine gun in that McDonald's. And I guess they needed it because they arrested a young man for trying to snatch some lady's purse while we were in there. And so that's the way Odessa was. Well, Nikolai went back there, and he found a Pentecostal church, and he went there, and he asked the pastor, will you baptize me in Jesus' name? The pastor said, no, we don't baptize that way. Nikolai said, goodbye. And he just kept searching, and he finally went back up to northwest Ukraine where he had started, and he found an old Oneness Pentecostal preacher who baptized him in the saving name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it was about that time that Brother Alexander was making some of these evangelism trips down into northwest Ukraine, and he encountered Nikolai, took Nikolai under his wing and began to mentor him, and they began doing evangelism work together. Nikolai has helped him start some of these new preaching points, and they also have started a new church up here in northwest Ukraine. Nikolai is our newest licensed minister in the United Pentecostal Church in Ukraine, and he's pastoring that church now. Praise God. But it hasn't always been like that. When we arrived in Moscow in 1993, we only had one contact, and that's the only person that we knew. So my wife and our son was with us at that time. Our son is now a missionary in Estonia. But we started having some services in our apartment, and a few people gathered together, and one man who was our principal contact. And from there, we began the work, and there was no church in Moscow. There was no church in St. Petersburg, no church in Kiev. Brother Ray Nichols had just recently arrived in Belarus and was starting a work in Minsk, and there was just no United Pentecostal Church, but God has helped us over those years, and I am so thankful for it. And I was listening to Brother Sutton as he was preaching and ministering this morning, talking about that stream of prophecy, and it coincided with what God has been speaking to me about. Because right after we arrived in Moscow in 1993, the fall of that year, Russia almost had another civil war, and the communists tried one last attempt to regain power. Boris Yeltsin was in the presidency at that time, and the Soviet Union had already collapsed. And the communists were trying to get power again, so the communist legislators barricaded themselves in the Russian White House and trying a coup attempt against the Yeltsin government. But Yeltsin wasn't going to stand for it, so he called out the army and the tanks, and there was warfare in the streets of Moscow. And we could step out we lived on the 12th floor of our apartment building. We could look out across the city about a mile away and see that battle taking place and hear the boom of the tanks and see the smoke rising from that building on the Moscow River. The communists did not prevail. Yeltsin did, and you probably know some of the Russian history since then. It hasn't all been very good, I'm sorry to say. But 3 days after that, my wife and I were on a train headed south, our son with us, and we were on our way to the city of Saratov on the Volga River. Not far from Saratov, there was another town where there was a group of Oneness Pentecostals. They had no pastor, and they were waiting for us to come and minister to them, and they had a number of people to be baptized. So we went there and ministered. I baptized a bunch of people in the Volga River in Jesus' name. And then the group leader said, asked me if I would go to City Hall and speak for them because they were having problems with the local government concerning their services. So I said, I'll do what I can. So we went to the place that had been for the past 70 years under communism since the revolution in 1917. It had been the seat of political power in that city or any other city in Russia, the local Communist Party headquarters. And I went into the office, met the chairman of the local Communist Party, was a woman, and told her what our situation was. And she said a remarkable thing to me. She said, you know, I don't think I have any power anymore. After the events that had just taken place in Moscow, she said, I suggest you go across the other side of City Hall and talk to the mayor and his staff. We did. The mayor helped us out and even invited me to stay and minister during a memorial service they were going to have the next day for people who had been killed in the fighting in Moscow that past weekend. We couldn't stay because there was another group of Oneness Pentecostals in another town waiting for us to come, and we had no way to communicate with them, so we had to go on. But what we realized was we were eyewitnesses to a pivotal change in history that was taking place and had already begun with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, and all of those events were just accumulating, and then we saw the results of it right there in front of us. Communist power had evaporated. And some might say, well, that's just the whim of history or the effects of the work of men, but I don't think so. I think that was the hand of God that opened the door of utterance for the church. And I thank him for it. And then since that time, we've seen all kinds of tumultuous events in our world, just like your pastor was saying this morning. We were in our apartment in Moscow in 2001 after Sunday service, and one of the women in the church called us up and said, the towers in New York City are on fire. I had no idea what in the world she was talking about. But we got listened to the BBC and found out that 9/11 had just taken place. And then since that time, just seems like one thing after another. The part of the world that we've lived in has been in turmoil. I was in Kiev when the Orange Revolution was taking place and saw over a million people on the central independent square in Kiev demonstrating against the government. There's been war in Chechnya, war in the Republic of Georgia, just one upheaval after another. And then before we could come home for this time of deputation, almost total economic collapse of the world economic system. And it just seems like we're living in a world where the waves are getting higher and higher. And then of course, nature itself with tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes that have killed thousands of people. I think what is happening is what the Apostle Paul described in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Verse 22, he said, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption to wit, the redemption of our body." I believe that the events of our world are leading us rapidly to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus and the consummation of this age. And it's about over, folks. But I don't think that this is any time for us to step back from what we're doing. We need to preach this message as we've never preached it before. God is going to open doors for the church that will be remarkable to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just like to say this. I believe that there are two things principally that we are going to need in our faith in these last days, because I believe our faith will be challenged and your faith will be shaken if it can be shaken. I'm just glad to know that we can put our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, and not be moved. But I believe we need two things. And first of all, I believe we need courage. I believe we need the courage of our convictions. I believe we need courage to stand in opposition. We need courage to stand when things are not going our way. We need courage to stand when we don't understand the situation that we're going through. We need courage when we are opposed in our families. We need courage when people speak against us on the job or at school. We need young people like the group I've been seeing around here that are in love with Jesus Christ and know what they believe and are willing to stand for truth. Praise God. And we need moms and dads that will live a courageous life, a consistent life, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week, and model this for our children. God said to Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, and I will give you the land." And then secondly, I believe the church needs something that we might not think about often, but I believe more than ever, we need to have the peace of God in our hearts. Kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I believe that the devil's, one of his great desires is to rob you of peace in your life. Because if you don't have peace in your heart, you cannot get an answer to prayer. If you don't have peace in your heart, you won't have a miracle. But it's when you step into the peace of God that God begins to move in your life. Jesus was arrested and crucified, as we heard this morning, and the disciples' faith was shattered, and they were running and scattered because the shepherd had been smitten and the sheep were scattered, and they were fearful. They didn't know what to do. They had anticipated something else, but not this, even though Jesus had tried to warn them that it was going to happen. And then on the third day, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he appeared to a couple of the women, but the apostles were in a room hidden away with the door barred before for fear that they might be found out. And suddenly the resurrected Jesus appeared in that room to them. And the first thing that Jesus said to them was, "Peace unto you. Peace be unto you." Because he knew that they needed to have peace in their hearts before they could exercise faith in the resurrected Christ. Praise God. When you go into the home of an old-time Oneness Pentecostal family in Russia, the traditional greeting when you step into that home, into the doorway, is Mir Vashem Dome, peace be unto your house. And they say back to you, Smirim, we receive you with peace, because they understood the value of having the peace of God in their life. Those people who suffered persecution all those years, some of them saw their pastors arrested and led away to the gulag. Men like Smorodin, who followed Andrew Urshan in the early years of the oneness message in Russia from the time of 1916, when Andrew Urshan preached in St. Petersburg. And then Smorodin, God raised him up as a great advocate of the oneness message. And he traveled many places and was arrested over and over for his testimony of Jesus Christ. But he would get out of prison and he'd just start preaching all over again. They arrested that man 3 times, but the last time he never got out of prison. He died in that prison, but not before he had converted Ustim Grigorovich, who became an apostle to the nation of Kazakhstan and brought the oneness message there. And so they understood that life had no promises, especially for them, except the promises of God. And that if they were going to walk with God and persevere to the end, they were going to have the peace of God in their heart. So don't let the devil rob you of your peace. Because there are going to be a lot of accusations brought against him when they finally wrap him in chains and cast him into the bottomless pit. They're going to be rightful accusations that he was a thief and he was a robber and he was a killer and a destroyer, a wrecker of homes, and every lie, he was the author of it. But one thing I believe, one charge they're going to bring against him was he was a disturber of the peace. He wants to disturb the peace in your family. He doesn't want there to be peace between husbands and wives or between young people and their parents. He wants to take peace out of your heart. He wants you to be so disturbed about whatever situation you're going in that you're in constant worry about that. And all you're thinking about is not what God can do, but the problem itself. But this is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Easier said than done, but that's what he said to do. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will keep you. It is, that word keep is like a military term. It, in other words, sit a guard at the door of your heart and mind and give you peace in your soul. That chapter that we read from Isaiah this morning, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. There was a penalty to be paid for us to have peace, and Jesus paid it for us. And so I can stand here tonight with the peace of God in my heart. And I've realized that there are situations that I cannot control. But I've learned that if I can just step into the peace of God, that I am going to get an answer. Praise God. And it's when people step into the peace of God that they get the Holy Ghost. It's when they step into the peace of God that miracles happen. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. So I'm glad to report that in all those cities that I mentioned earlier, there are churches there now in Moscow. There were no churches in the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, but we have churches in all those countries, and God is doing remarkable things. I'm not taking credit for that. Other missionaries are working there now, and I thank God for it. And in Ukraine, great things are happening. In Russia, new churches are being opened. Down here in Central Asia, just above Afghanistan, this part of the former Soviet Union, these are all Muslim countries, the 5 nations of Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. All were part of the Soviet Union, and fortunately, they all speak Russian here, so we can where we can travel, we can speak Russian. And God opened a door for us in Kyrgyzstan 2 years ago, and I met a young man who was a leader of the evangelical churches. There aren't that many Christian people in Kyrgyzstan. Maybe just over 20,000 people altogether in a nation of about 4.5 million people. Most of them are Muslim, of course. But this young man had been the leader of the Evangelical Union of Churches, and he had been to the United States, and somewhere, I believe in California, he had encountered the oneness message, but put it aside, but it was still in his mind. And when I sat down to talk to him, he was ripe for this message, and I told him about the difference between oneness Pentecostalism and the Trinitarian Pentecostalism, and that actually we had started from the same roots, and gave him some history, and we began to ask some questions, and we were answering his questions. And then the next day he invited his assistant pastor to come, and we had lunch together, and I taught them for a couple hours on the oneness of God, and his assistant Ruslan said, "You know, this makes sense." And it does make sense, because it's the Bible. Ruslan said, when I tried to talk to my Muslim friends about the Trinity, they finally said to me, "Ruslan, just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You're confused and you're confusing us." And he said, he laughed. He said, "You know, I was confused. But 2 years ago, I baptized both those young men in the name of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And that was the beginning of a oneness revival. As far as I know, there no one in that nation had ever been baptized in Jesus' name. But now there are Jesus' name, one God, apostolic people in the country of Kyrgyzstan. 9 preachers have been baptized in Jesus' name. One church, the largest charismatic church in the city of Talas, Mark Schutz and I baptized that pastor last year in the name of Jesus Christ in a cold, cold river. And 16 people out of his congregation, he sent me some pictures of a building that we were able to help. Brother Mark Schutz sent him an offering to help finish the roof on his building. They're having revival, and we're sending people, evangelists, out there this month. And I am just excited about what God is doing in these Muslim nations of Central Asia. Because, folks, we've got the key to the Muslim world. It's the message of the mighty God in Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that we're going to reach all of these Muslim countries. In fact, that's one of our major projects while we're home, is to reach 5 nations in 5 years with this apostolic message. Not that we're going to totally evangelize them, but I want to have a preaching base in every one of those countries in the next 5 years. I believe God will help us do it. And then I'd just like to tell you about Siberia. Siberia is a vast area. Now, this former Soviet Union, there are 11 time zones across here. It's big. You could set the United States, continental United States, down here over 2 times, maybe 3 times or so in that area. There are 4 time zones across the continental United States, and it takes a while to drive across there. But my wife and I flew from Moscow to Vladivostok, just above the Korean Peninsula, a few years ago. And I had a tremendous case of jet lag when I got there. We had been in the air over 8 hours. We'd crossed 8 time zones getting out there, and we'd just been flying across one country the whole time. This is the largest country geographically, area-wise, in the world. And you might say, well, Siberia, there's nothing out there but ice and snow. But that's not altogether true. Of course, when you're up here above the Arctic Circle, the population is fewer. But in central Siberia, there are actually millions of people living in Siberia. Right down in this area of Siberia, there are at least 20 cities with over 100,000 people. One city with over 1 million people. And right now, there are no oneness Pentecostal churches in all those places that we know anything about. But I believe that's about to change. So I've been praying about this hoping somehow that we could get a chance to go there. But of course, all our efforts have been consumed back here in European Russia in these past 15 years, just trying to get these new works established. And now we have churches in Armenia and in Georgia, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Thank God for that. And we got a base established out of here. We divided all this up into 10 areas just so we could have a manageable administrative approach to this. But all of this has just still waiting, because once you get east of the Ural Mountains, you are in Siberia, and actually you're in Asia. Beyond the Ural Mountains, right down here, is China. And so I've just asked God to help us, but I've realized, you know, there are things that I cannot do. Only God can do. But I'm glad that He is working with the church. And unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. But He is interested in this. Praise God. It was Jesus that gave the church the command to go into all the world and preach this gospel. So He has a vested interest. He paid for it with His blood. And He's going to help us, and He is helping us. 2.5 years ago, my wife and I and Mark and Robin Schutz, fellow missionaries, were able to make an exploratory trip to Siberia. I said to Mark, Mark, if we can just get our feet down in some of those cities and just walk those streets and pray and speak the name of Jesus and ask for the power of the blood upon those and the mercy of God upon those people, I believe God will open some doors for us. And I really do believe that. I believe it just takes somebody that will have a burden to go to a city or a country where they haven't heard this gospel and get their feet on the ground and start praying, and then God starts moving. Praise God. So that's what we did. And of course, Brother Schutz was excited about doing it. We flew from St. Petersburg to Krasnoyarsk in southern Siberia. And remarkably, on the very airplane that we were flying from St. Petersburg to Krasnoyarsk was our first contact in that city, a young woman who had been visiting a friend in St. Petersburg. And we came in contact with her friend at the hotel where we were staying at in St. Petersburg. She told us about her friend who was going back to Krasnoyarsk on the same flight that we were on. So when we got off the airplane in Krasnoyarsk, we introduced ourselves to Yulia, and her fiancé, Damir, was there to meet her at the airport. We got acquainted with them and said, could we talk to you about your city? We're out here to exploring the possibility of starting churches out here. And they said, oh, how interesting. And we met with them for dinner the next day. And during that day, we did prayer walks in the city. And then that night, we got together with Damir and Yulia. They were so warm, so open to us, and interested in what we had to say. They weren't churchgoers, but their hearts were open. And Yulia had to go to the doctor the next day because she was having some kind of heart problem. And when we got back to the hotel, before we said goodnight, we said, Yulia, could we just pray for you in Jesus' name? And nobody had ever prayed for her before, but she said, okay. So we just gently laid our hands on her and prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I saw these little tears trickling down her face. Probably the first time in her life she had ever felt the presence of God. And the next day she came back from the doctor, said, everything's okay. There's nothing wrong. Praise God. We spent some time with them that day. And then we said goodbye because we were leaving on a train at midnight to go on farther east into Siberia. And it was going to be too late to see them at the train station because they both had to get up and go to work early the next day. So we just said our goodbyes. But when we got to the train station, Yulia and Darmir were there to see us off. And we've been staying in contact with them since then. They're still waiting for the United Pentecostal Church. And folks, the United Pentecostal Church is coming to that city in Jesus' name. We went on from there out to Lake Baikal, the largest freshwater lake in the world, not in area, but in volume. And we went to cities out here, Irkutsk and some other cities. We did prayer walks. We made contacts. We flew out to Magadan on the far east coast of Russia. When you're in Magadan, you are farther east than you are if you are in Tokyo, Japan. And this was an evil city. It had been one of the major gateways into the Gulag, the prison camp system of the former Soviet Union. People were sent out by train to Vladivostok, and then they were, if they survived that journey, prisoners were put on boats to Magadan, and then they were dispersed into the prison camp system. And of course, millions of people died in those camps during those 70 years under communism. And we didn't know anybody in this city. We were praying and walking the streets of the city, and I said, let's see if we can find a Pentecostal church. I didn't suppose there would be a Oneness Pentecostal church, but we've started asking people, do you know if there are any Pentecostals in this city? And we gave them the word Pentecostniki, the Pentecostals, and they'd never heard that word. They didn't know anything about Pentecost. And so we finally, I said, okay, let's go to the one place where I know they will know if there's a Pentecostal church in town. We went to the police station. And sure enough, there was an officer outside. I asked him, I said, is there a Pentecostal church in this city? Pentecost. He didn't like to talk about it, but he gave me the address. And we went over there, and it was a Trinitarian Pentecostal church on the outskirts of the city, meeting in an old rundown warehouse. And the pastor of that church, his name also was Nikolai. And when we introduced ourselves to him, told him that we were there just exploring the possibility of doing evangelism work in that part of Siberia, Nikolai canceled his whole schedule and spent the whole day with us, showing us his city and talking to us. He and his wife were born Jews, but they were converted to Christianity and as young people and received the Holy Ghost. He began this church at a church of about 500 people. And they were starting to build a building in that city while Yeltsin was still in power. And then when Yeltsin went out of power, the politics changed, and the local government in cohorts with the Russian Orthodox Church did not want that church building to be built, so they stopped the construction. So that big building just sits there half completed, and they're still meeting in an old rundown place on the side of town. And while we were in that city, we were being followed by people that keep an eye on Nikolai and what he's doing. It was just kind of a throwback to the old Soviet days. But we took Nikolai out to dinner, and he and his wife, and I steered the conversation toward a church history. And I said, you know, Nikolai, in the first three centuries of Christianity, the early church didn't do, the only way they baptized, and you can look in any good church history book, you'll see that the only way they baptized was in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had no concept of the Trinity. That was an invention that came along in the third and fourth century and came out of Greek philosophy. I said, the early church knew nothing about that. He said, you're right. I want to continue that conversation with him. And we said our goodbyes, and Nikolai said, anytime you can come back here and you want to do evangelism work, we'll help you any way we can. I'm glad to report that Brother Michael Bauer and his wife, Ann, who are evangelists here in the United States, they've been with us in Kyrgyzstan last year. They're making a trip to Central Asia. They're going to minister in Kyrgyzstan a good while, but they're also going to visit Magadan. Michael has already been in contact with Pastor Nikolai. They're going to spend a week in Magadan, and I'm just sure eager to find out what God is going to do. Well, that was 2 years ago. We flew back, we stopped, and we ministered in Central Asia, and then we went on back to our base in Latvia. And then last year, God began to do amazing things in Siberia. Right down here in this part of Siberia, there is a young couple living here that have relatives back here in Belarus in the city of Brest, where Brother Alexander is the pastor. And we have a wonderful United Pentecostal Church in the city of Brest. And those folks are not afraid to get out on the streets and talk to people about Jesus. And here was this young couple from Siberia that were on the streets of Brest. Somebody from the church met them, invited them to come to service. They'd never been anything like this, like most of us, I guess, the first time we came. But it electrified them. And they just could not help themselves. They kept coming back. They started sitting in on Bible studies with Pastor Alexander. And before they left that city, they were both filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. They went back to their city. That was about a 5-day train trip for them. They have relatives about 600 or 700 miles farther east in Siberia in another city. They called them up and said, we just got back from Brest meeting with our family there. And they said, we went to a church and we found out that God is still pouring out his spirit, just like it talks about in the book of Acts, because we received the Holy Ghost. And this couple, their relatives said, we want to find out about that. There was nobody around them preaching this message, so they made a 6-day journey, day and night, by train to get back to Brest so that they could hear what you and I get to hear every week of the year. Now, listen, that takes away forever the excuse for not being willing to drive across town and be here on time for church. Amen? They set in on those services. God got a hold of their hearts. They had Bible studies. They asked their questions. And before they left, God had also filled them with the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in Jesus' name. They went back out to their city and they called a friend of theirs that lives almost all the way out to Vladivostok. He's a Baptist preacher. He's an assistant pastor in a Baptist church. A young man that loves God. They called him up. They said, hey, guess what? The Holy Ghost was not relegated to the first century in the time of the apostles. People today are still receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? We just received it last week when we were in Brest, Belarus. And that guy got so excited about it, he called Pastor Alexander. He said, I've heard about your church. I'd like to come back and visit a real Pentecostal church. Alexander said, we would welcome you anytime. That young man made a 7-day train journey to go back there to hear the apostolic message preached. He was in those services, never felt God like he felt in that place. And before that Baptist preacher left, he was full of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. He went back home and started talking to his pastor, and his pastor was excited about what he heard. He called Alexander and said, listen, Pastor Alexander, if you can come out here, we would love to have you come and preach in our church. And here's the good news. The churches of Western Europe have raised an offering so that Alexander can make a missionary evangelism trip this summer. He's going to visit these locations in Siberia and go on out here and preach in that Baptist church. God, for the first time, is raising up preaching points and churches in Siberia, and it's just the beginning. Well, I want to close with just one more story. I wanted to introduce you to a sister from our church in St. Petersburg, Sister Vlada. Vlada is 21 years old. She's been a Christian for 3 years. She's from a city just north of St. Petersburg, and the St. Petersburg church was doing outreach in that city, trying to open a daughter work there. Vlada was one of the first that they encountered on the streets of that city and one of the first to come to the service, and she was about the first one from that town to receive the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. That was 3 years ago. 2 years ago, she moved to St. Petersburg to go to college and, of course, started attending our church there. And Vlada is, she's not an outgoing young lady, but she's got a heart to serve God. And every time Sister Turner and I would make a trip to St. Petersburg to visit the church, we'd see Vlada and we'd see these beautiful changes that were taking place in her life and her appearance as she was making her consecrations toward God. And they had a keyboard in the church last year, but nobody at that time who knew how to play it. So Vlada learned how to play the keyboard so that she could help with the worship. And she's going to college, but she's also one of our Bible school students in St. Petersburg. If you ladies have helped out with Mother's Memorial offerings, that money has helped us and other missionaries with Bible school student support. And Vlada is one that has been a recipient of that. And thank you for everything that you do for foreign missions. And Vlada, well, she's, as I said, she's kind of introverted. She's not a real outgoing person. If you saw her in a group of young people, she'd probably be one of the last ones you would notice. But we found out that in the heart of this young lady, there is a lioness. She has a younger sister, Diana, 3 years younger than she, and Diana did not have the Holy Ghost, and Vlada became very burdened for her sister, wanted Diana to get the Holy Ghost also. But Diana lived outside of St. Petersburg, had no good church to go to. So Vlada said, Diana, I want you to go to youth camp with me this summer. And so this was 2 summers ago. And to get to youth camp, we have it up here in Ukraine where we have more political freedom and there's no harassment and the young people can come together. Now, from maybe 5 or 6 different countries come together for those youth camp services. They come by bus, long highway bus, or by train. And the young people from St. Petersburg saved up their money, bought cheap seats on the train where you sit on those hard benches. It was going to be a 24-hour or more train trip to get down there, but they didn't care. They were having a great time worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping and then getting to youth camp. And Diana had a ticket, and she was on their way to youth camp with her sister Vlada and the rest of the young people 2 summers ago. But she was not yet 18 years old, and there was a little catch that they didn't know about. Because when they got, they had to cross the country of Belarus to get down here to Ukraine. And Belarus, you had to have, if you weren't 18, you had to have a travel document signed by your parents with official local government seals on it saying you had the right to cross that border. Well, Deanna didn't know about that. She didn't have that document. And so when they got to the border with Belarus, they kicked her off the train. And it looked like there goes her chance to go to youth camp. Well, Vlada wasn't going to leave her sister behind, so she got off the train too. And they waved goodbye as the rest of the young people went on to the youth camp. And I suppose everybody expected that they would get a next train back to St. Petersburg. But Vlada had different ideas. Her sister was going to get the Holy Ghost. So they didn't go back to the train station. They walked out of town. And they walked about half a mile out of town along the border between Russia and Belarus. And there was a wall along the border topped by barbed wire. They walked out till they got away from the rest of the city. There were no cars, no houses out there, and no people. They looked around, and when they realized there wasn't anybody watching, they climbed that wall. They got hung up on the barbed wire, cut themselves, tore their clothing a little bit, but they dropped down into Belarus. Now, young people, I'm just telling the story. The missionary telling this story does not necessarily endorse everything that happened. But I do thank God for the results. And they didn't ask me anyway. So this is how it happened. And so they started walking, but they had to get all the way across that country so they could get to the border with Ukraine. So they started hitchhiking. Now, don't ever do that. But in Belarus, it's a rural country, mostly a farming area, simple, kind people for the most part. And fortunately, those are the kind of people that they met. And car after car was taking them on their journey. They were getting across that country to get to youth camp before it was all over. And after a long, long journey, arduous to get there, they finally were just a few miles now separated them from the border with Ukraine. But there was one last obstacle. There was a big, long marsh that just seemed to go on forever. And the road ended there and then picked up on the other side of the marsh and onto the border. But either they had to go way to the south or way to the north to get around that marsh area. And Vlada was concerned if they did that, they might get to youth camp too late. So instead, they just put their little suitcases on their heads, and those two girls waded through that marsh up to their waists in mud and water, and I don't know, 200 or 300 yards, whatever it was, to get across there. And they made it across, and they were filthy. Their pastor told me after they finally got to youth camp, they looked like refugees from a war zone. And so they were on the other side now, and a kindly old farmer stopped. He said, "Where are you trying to go?" And they said, "Well, we're going toward the Ukrainian border." He said, "Well, I'm headed that way." He said, "But I won't take you the way you guys look." He said, "You go off in the forest and change your clothes, get cleaned up a little bit, and then I'll wait here. You come back, and I'll take you on." And that's what they did. And he took them on to the border. They got to the border. It wasn't so difficult getting across that border, and now they were in Ukraine. They didn't have to have travel documents there. And they either got a train or a bus, and they went to the major city of Lvov, and then they had to backtrack to get out to youth camp. But praise God, they got to the youth camp while there were still a couple of services left. And before youth camp was over, Deanna had received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They baptized her in Jesus' name. Then they had to make that same trip back across Belarus to get back to St. Petersburg. Of course, the rest of the young people went straight back by train, and they were waiting for them when they got back. But oh, what a time of rejoicing that group of young people had when Vlada and Deanna hit town. Praise God. You know what that tells me? That tells me if you want the Holy Ghost badly enough, you'll get the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to go all the way across Alabama to get it. Praise God. People are getting it here today, and I thank God for it. Well, the last time that we were in service in St. Petersburg was in late November, and I preached that service that Sunday, and Vlada was there, Deanna was there, their mama was there. Two people received the Holy Ghost in that service, and one of them was their mother. Hallelujah. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She's been baptized in Jesus' name. And Vlada came to me after service, and she said, well, Brother Turner, there's just one left, Papa. And she said, and he's next. And I said, Vlada, I believe it. And sure enough, I've been talking with Brother Eduard Pushkov, her pastor, and he said, yes, Vlada's father is coming to services now. I'm teaching him a home Bible study, and he's already been baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, he'll be getting the Holy Ghost soon. You know what? Jesus told this story, and I'm going to close with this. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, that his disciples saw him praying, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And so Jesus gave them what we know as the Lord's Prayer, not a prayer to recite every time you go to church, but a pattern for praying. And then Jesus told this story. He said there was a man on a long journey, and he came to his friend's house at midnight. And he was weary, tired, hungry, but his friend had no food in the house, no bread, nothing he could feed this weary traveler. So he said, you wait here and I'll be back. So he went next door to his neighbor's house, and he knocks on the door at midnight, and he said, a friend has come and he's on a long journey. He stopped at my house. He's just arrived. I have no bread. Loan me 3 loaves so that I can put some bread before him. But his friend next door said, no, no, it's late. My family's asleep. Don't bother us now. Come back some other time. But Jesus said this man just kept knocking. He would not go away. And this was probably no small thing, because this house could have been like some houses that we have seen in Israel, built in the countryside, built on like stilts or pillars. And that underneath the house at nighttime, that's where the farm animals bed down. But during the day, there's a door in the floor, and you open the trap door and you come and go out of the house through the floor during the daytime. But at night, when it's time to go to bed, you close the door, you latch it, you roll the carpet back out, and you're probably your one room house. You put the bed clothes down, and you and your wife and your children, you lie down and go to sleep over the door of the house. So for this man to give his friend bread at midnight meant that he was going to have to wake up his whole family. He was going to have to wake up those little kids at midnight. Now, if they're anything like my grandsons, it takes a big effort to get those boys to sleep. And sure enough, you don't want to wake them up at midnight. Because if you wake them up then, they're going to start crying. And if they start crying, then mama is not going to be happy. And if mama's not happy... So the man said, no, come back another time. Come back some other time. But he said, no, I've got to have bread, and I've got to have it tonight. I've got to have it. And Jesus said, because of his importunity, because of his earnest request, because he would not take no for an answer, he just kept knocking. Jesus said he received the bread that he asked for that night. Let's stand together. And that's why Jesus said, knock, and it shall be opened. Seek and you will find. Ask and it shall be given. Because everyone that knocketh, it's going to be open to them. Everyone that seeketh, they will find. Everyone that asketh, they will receive. So I'm saying to you tonight, you got a situation in your life and you haven't been able to get a hold of it. You haven't quite gotten an answer for it. I'm saying this is what the Bible says to you. It says, first of all, pray your way into the peace of God. Surrender your heart until you accept the peace that he made for you on his cross. And when you step into the peace of God, then begin to ask, because he will answer. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, will find. Everyone that knocketh, it's going to be open to them. Could we raise our hands and praise him? If you feel like praying tonight, I'm sure it's all right to just come to these altars right now and seek the Lord. An answer is waiting for you. Step into the peace of God and then let the answer come. And don't take no for an answer, but say, God, I've got to have bread. Praise God. And I'm on a long journey and I need some bread for my friends. I'm going to leave this here for your consideration. Praise God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Praise God. If you need to step into a new place in God, just begin to ask Him and seek that new place in Him, and you can have it. But you've got to be willing to say, I'm not going to step back. I'm going to keep asking until it happens. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Oh, let's pray. Would you lift your hands all over this house and let's praise Him right now. Jesus' name.